Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 28, 2014. Will the freed political detainees take part in talks that resume in Addis Ababa today?
We are not, as of now, free to travel, though we have been freed by the court. But these are some of the challenges.
And SPLA officials say trainees were killed at a military base in western Bahr al-Ghazal last week. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Talks aimed at ending South Sudan's conflict are back on the track in Addis Ababa after a three-week break. The Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, which is mediating the talks, says the talks resumed after negotiators for President Salva Kiir's government and the opposition, led by former Vice President Riek Machar, arrived in the Ethiopian capital. This phase of negotiations will focus on building a political dialogue to promote national reconciliation and healing in South Sudan, which is now in its fifth month of crisis. During the first round of talks in late January, the two sides signed a cessation of hostility agreement, which has been violated repeatedly by both sides since that time. They also agreed in January to expedite the release of 11 political detainees that were figures who were detained when the fighting started in broke out in mid-December. The last four of those political detainees were released last week after President Salva Kiir decided to drop the treason case against them. IGAD says during the 3 weeks break in the talks, its mediating team held consultation with both sides to try to speed up the peace process and prevent further escalation of the conflict. But as the talks get back underway, heavy fighting is being reported around South Sudan, including in the Unity State, Jonglei, and western Bahr al-Ghazal, which has up to now been able to avoid being drawn into the conflict. South Sudan's government say it expects a significant improvement in peace negotiation with rebels following the release of four political detainees accused of plotting to overthrow President Salva Kiir's government. Presidential spokesperson Wek Ateng tells reporter Peter Clotty he is hopeful the release of the political detainees will speed up the process of finding a solution to the country's crisis.
A significant result is to be expected, to be anticipated in the resumption of the peace talks on Monday, simply because the four former suspects of the coup attempt were actually released on the stay of the case are not going to be one of the preconditions the rebels would want to put forward before the negotiation. So I believe there will be some change in the manner in which the rebels would want to negotiate peace with government.
Does the government expect the released detainees to be part of the negotiations?
In fact, we have actually said time and again, and the president was on record by saying it is either those who are actually released now, they are actually free to join either side, either to cast their lot with the rebels or to come to the government side. And the government is of opinion of allowing the third party to be part of the peace negotiations, simply because we wanted the peace negotiation to be confined to the two warring parties so that they can stop the bleeding.
There are concerns that the released four are not being given the opportunity to go out of the country, for example, to Kenya, because their passports are being withheld. What's the rationale behind this?
I just heard it called by one media agency that one of the four detainees tried yesterday to go to Ethiopia, but he was returned because his passport was impounded by the security. The truth of the matter is that the president has given these people to be free and go anywhere they wanted in the world. Only that the president has urged them to be inside the country, simply because, you know, our political problem can be solved within South Sudan. This idea of our politician trying to bring in the third party in an attempt to, you know, allow those countries to meddle into our affairs is not helpful to South Sudan. So the president urged the four to remain inside the country so that they could build the trust with the public, because the public were outraged by their release. So they have to be here in South Sudan at least for some time.
You said the public expressed outrage after these four were released?
Yes, because the public says last time the seven were released, on bail and given to Kenya, and now the four RMEs, who is going to be accountable for the lives that are lost as a result of the coup attempt on the 15th of December 2013? So the people are asking these questions, but the president has talked yesterday to the people, to the nation here in South Sudan at 4 o'clock yesterday, and has urged the public to accept this as a government gesture of goodwill to give peace a chance. The people now are actually understanding the situation.
Ateny, Wek Ateny is South Sudan's presidential spokesperson. He spoke with reporter Peter Clody from the capital, Juba. The former Secretary General of the South Sudan ruling party, freed from detention last week, is calling on the warring parties in South Sudan to stop fighting. Pagana Mum says the fighting is leading to what he calls total collapse in the new country. He says national dialogue and reconciliation is the only way forward.
We want to end this war, and we, having been released, we have no bitterness. We are full of hope and love and forgiveness, and we would want to engage with these brothers to end this war, and we resolve the problem of our country through dialogue.
The talks have resumed today in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. What are your plans regarding these talks? Because you're talking of resolving the issues peacefully.
We support the IGAD initiative. While the mediation is going on and the negotiations are going on, we would want to engage at a very high level President Salva Kiir and his former Vice President, Dr. Riek Machar, who is leading the SPLA in the opposition. Our priority is to end this war and to bring about peace, so that we can have a conducive environment to have a national dialogue.
Since you are released, have you been in touch with President Kiir, and have you talked to him about your intentions for this country?
Definitely, we have expressed our intention from the first minutes of our release, and we are looking forward to meet with him. We are also hoping to be able to travel freely, to go and engage also with Dr. Riek Machar. And this is our priority. It is our initiative.
What is your reaction to reports that the government prevented two of your colleagues from leaving the country on Friday when they were trying to travel to Kenya? Are you free to move outside South Sudan?
Unfortunately, it is true that two of our colleagues who wanted to travel to go and see their families and their children, they were denied to travel. And yes, we are not, as of now, free to travel, though we have been freed by the court. But these are some of the challenges, including the restrictions of our freedom and violation of our constitutional rights. But these are challenges and that the whole nation is gripped with, and we will be dealing with that.
And you are telling me that you want to be part of the solution to the ongoing political crisis in the country. What would be your solution to this problem? Because you have been with the SPLM from its inception.
First of all, I personally and the group of us who were detained, we see this war as a war that is a fratricide. It is a war of brothers killing brothers, and it is unacceptable. We want to end this war. So our solution is, number one, to prevail and encourage and convince and persuade our two leaders leading this conflict to stop this war. And all of us, we then engage in peace building. And this is, of course, necessary that we save the nation from total disintegration that is threatening. This is with the strategic objective of avoiding the collapse of our young state.
That's Pagan Amum, former Secretary General of South Sudan's ruling party. Pagan and three other high-profile politicians were accused by the government of attempting to overthrow President Kiir. The government dropped the case against the four accused who were released last week. Tomorrow, Pagan speaks about ethnic dynamics of the ongoing conflict. Army officials say fighting broke out in a military base in western Bahr al-Ghazal state late last week when families of soldiers living at the base attacked military trainees. They say at least five trainees were killed. State officials say the fighting in Mapel prompted four WAU-based brigadier generals and six other officers to defect. Andrew Green has more for VOA from Juba.
Sudan People's Liberation Army spokesperson Colonel Philip Aguirre says he does not know what prompted the families to attack the trainees at the military base in the eastern part of western Bahr al-Ghazal. He says at least 280 trainees and their families fled the base after the attack.
They left Mapel, that 280, 40 armed, the rest were not armed. That was the 25th. Of this month. On the 26th, one of the senior officers, a brigadier general by the name Ushan, he was known to be in contact with Riek Machar and Taban Dengai, the leaders of the rebellions. And he agitated base or exploiting the situation in Mapel. They left WAU with the purpose to join the rebellions with some of the officers, three brigadiers, and went and met those who left Mapel.
The opposition released a statement accusing the SPLA of massacring more than 200 soldiers at the training center because of their ethnic background, and in reprisal for fighting over the weekend in Jonglei State's Duke County. According to the statement, the dead were, quote, killed in cold blood because the hometown of their direct commander, Major General Malwal Majok, was liberated by our forces this week, end quote. Majok is from Duke County. Aguirre vehemently denies the allegations and insists the SPLA was not involved in the attack in any way. Deputy Governor Zakaria Joseph Garang confirmed during a news conference in WAU today that the government has lost touch with the brigadier generals and the other defectors. According to a United Nations official in WAU, more than 700 civilians fled to its base out of fear that they would be targeted following the defection of the SPLA officers. Officials say they are providing the new arrivals with basic services, including food and water. For VOA News, I am Andrew Green in Juba.
The International Rescue Committee, or the ICRC, is calling on the international community to do more to ensure that both sides in the conflict end the fighting. Two IRC staff were among civilians killed when armed youth attacked the UN compound in Bor recently. The IRC Country Director for South Sudan, Wendy Toiba, tells my colleague Charlton Doki in Juba she wants the UN's Office of Commissioner for Human Rights to establish permanent presence in South Sudan to monitor human rights violations.
We anticipate severe food insecurity becoming quite extreme by the end of the year. So everything's conspiring at the same time to create a very fragile situation.
What do you think should be done for the parties in the conflict to end the fighting?
As we know, there was this cessation of hostilities in January, which unfortunately didn't hold. Even from more or less the day it was signed, as I understand, there was pretty much renewed fighting right away. It sounds a little bit of a dream, but if it could be revived and reinforced somehow, I think one thing that's been missing is any kind of accountability, incentivizing people to abide by the cessation of hostilities and for meaningful dialogue and commitment at the highest levels to be also translated down to the lowest levels.
IRC has also called for the UN's Office for the High Commissioner for Human Rights to establish an office in the country. How do you think this would help end the abuses and end the fighting?
I think that establishment would provide a more robust mechanism of documenting and investigating human rights violations and then allow accountability measures to be more effectively implemented. It's difficult currently to have an independent voice that could be seen as more impartial. Everything's very politicized right now, so I think an independent mission under the OHCHR would be able to make more progress in that and thus be more able to implement the accountability.
How serious is the problem of gender-based violence in this conflict?
It's been a huge issue, mostly when people are initially displaced. In any fighting, there's a lot of chaos that ensues. And when people are, there's no sense of law and order, people may go on rampages of looting and rape and different forms of sexual assault. So we find it happens mostly during the displacement, and then we're doing as much as we can in the displacement sites to look at prevention within the sites, of course, but also psychosocial care and ensuring availability of immediate medical response.
What kind of support is IRC providing to the displaced people in the UN camps?
In Bentiu in particular, we are currently the primary healthcare actor in reproductive health, along with some support from CARE. So together we've been working as fast as we can. We found a lot of qualified staff among the displaced, which has enabled us to hire 9 new nurses in the past week alone. And we're pulling in doctors from our emergency roster to come and assist. And we also do have our gender-based violence prevention and response team there. And we've had that set up. There's been rumors of attacks on Bentiu, and it has, of course, changed hands several times. So fortunately, we do have the referral pathways on the ground and have been able to respond. But again, we'll need to send in extra staff for this massive influx.
That's Wendy Toiba, the country director for IRC in South Sudan. She was speaking to Charlton Doki in Juba earlier today. Kenya is condemning the new escalation of fighting in South Sudan, especially the targeted killings of civilians apparently along ethnic lines. Ispasu Manoa is the spokesperson for Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta. He warns the world will take action if the violence continues.
We strongly call upon all the parties to bring their military activities and killing of innocent people to an immediate end and to bring to account those involved. Failure to do so is unacceptable and will call for concerted effort by the international community.
Manoa was speaking days after United Nations officials said scores of civilians were singled out and killed in Bentiu, the capital of Unity State, based on the ethnic group they belong to. He says Kenya will not stand by and watch as another genocide played out on its doorstep.
We refuse to be witnesses to such atrocities and to remain helpless and hopeless in their wake. We especially reject the possibility that we are creeping into genocide again in our region. We shall not stand by and allow it to happen again.
He says Kenya and other countries in the region are taking action to stop the more than 4 months of bloodshed in South Sudan, which international aid groups say has claimed at least 10,000 lives.
We are convening an emergency summit of IGAD in the coming days to deliberate and consider our options on the subject.
That was Ispisu Manoa, spokesman for Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, promising international action taken if the violence in South Sudan does not stop. Sudan People's Liberation Army says fighting between their forces and the opposition continued at least in 2 areas over the weekend. Officials say they regained control of Mayom County in Unity State, but the opposition denies the claim. From Nairobi, Lucy Pony has the story for VOA.
SPLA spokesperson Colonel Philip Aguer says the army attacked Mayom after opposition forces launched an assault and took control of the strategic area in Unity State last Friday.
The SPLA is in full control of Mayom and they are advancing. That was after being attacked in a place called Bongi. The SPLA defeated that attack and pursued them up to Mayom. Now SPLA is on the way between Mayom and Bentiu. We are not attacked. We have been abided with the cessation of hostilities, but the other side continue, and they were threatening to spread the fighting.
But James Gadet Dak, the spokesperson for rebel leader Riek Machar, dismissed Aguer's claims.
Our forces are controlling Mayom. They temporarily entered Mayom on Saturday because our forces withdrew tactically to target the equipment and the logistics. So in less than 24 hours, they were dislodged again from Mayom since Saturday. So our forces are the ones in control now.
Aguer says an opposition attack on SPLA positions in Jonglei State's Duke County on Friday also triggered weekend fighting. He confirms the anti-government forces were able to capture part of the state.
It was the rebel themselves who announced that they have captured Duke County. Yes, they advanced from two directions. They captured Duke Padid, but they were repulsed. The SPLA repulsed them, and they were pursued until the SPLA arrived at Ayud 2 days ago. SPLA is now in control of Ayud. The other force that came from Uror, it is still occupying part of Duke County. The SPLA is aware, is addressing the situation, and they will be expelled from the area.
Gadet confirmed the government retook control of Ayud.
There have been clashes in Ayud. The government troops entered Ayud yesterday. They captured it from our forces. So the government forces are inside Ayud now, but the fighting is still continuing.
Neither side would confirm whether any soldiers or civilians were killed in the weekend fighting. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
Philip Aleu in Juba contributed to this report.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Stray dogs that are lost or separated from their owners can look helpless, but they can also be dangerous and carry bad diseases. One such disease, rabies, is a serious threat in Africa, where it kills more people than in any other part of the world. The greatest risk is to children, young boys in particular, who approach the animals to play and then get bitten. To protect your family, eliminate anything that attracts stray animals to your area. Store food so it has no scent to attract dogs. Bury or burn trash. And don't keep water in open bowls or containers. All these things can protect you and your children from the threat of disease caused by bites from stray dogs.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oxfam joins the chorus of groups calling on opposition and government forces to stop fighting. That story is coming up next.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country or on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. In Juba, listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5. You can also find us on shortwave at 11995, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
should boys and girls be given equal opportunity for an education?
Yes, especially ladies. To be taken good care for them to learn, because when you learn a lady, you learn a nation. Because in the future, there will be a mother. Then they will teach her children, and then the nation will just raise.
Yes, because we are all the same. Why should we treat it differently?
They should be given, because boys and girls are all equal. So if we don't give them equal opportunities, it's like we are discriminating them. So that's not okay.
All humans deserve same opportunities to anything in life.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Oxfam International says the humanitarian crisis in South Sudan will continue to grow worse until warring parties finally adhere to 3 months-old ceasefire agreement. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
Oxfam spokesperson in Juba, Grace Cahill, says many South Sudanese are in need of immediate aid.
In the country at the moment, we have more than 1 million people who have had to flee their homes. many with sounds of gunshots ringing their ears in the middle of the night. And we also have 5 million people who are in urgent need of humanitarian aid. So that makes it clear that the conflict is not just affecting people who have been physically displaced from their homes, but it's also affecting people who haven't had to leave their homes but who are suffering as a result of the conflict.
She says Oxfam is providing life-saving services in the capital and in 6 other locations further north.
We focus on providing water, sanitation and food for the most vulnerable people. We began work just a few days after the fighting broke out in December last year. So the fighting started on the 15th. We had programs up and running in the capital, Juba, by the 20th of December.
Oxfam is currently reaching over 155,000 people with its programs. However, it and other humanitarian agencies face the same obstacle in trying to help those in need.
The biggest problem is that fighting is ongoing. There was a ceasefire agreement signed in January, which didn't seem to mean anything, didn't hold at all. And since then, we've seen terrific scaling up in the amount of violence that has been. It seems to be that we take 2 steps forward in terms of our response, reaching people, and then more fighting flares up, and we take 1 step back.
The fighting disrupts aid distribution, but the condition of the roads is also a problem. Cahill says very few are paved, and many are muddy due to the rains. That means supplies must be flown in. But fighting interferes with that, too.
So what Oxfam and the rest of the humanitarian community needs, first of all, is for there to be a complete cessation of hostilities, for the fighting to stop immediately.
She says the UN has warned of a hunger crisis, with 7 million of South Sudan's 10 million people in need of food aid.
With the conflict continuing, there's been complete market breakdown. So broken that we've seen women selling individual garlic cloves, individual tomatoes, small things, practically nothing in the market to try and raise some money. So that suggests that there isn't the food coming in to feed these people.
The lack of food is affecting the displaced and non-displaced alike. Cahill says those who did flee their homes left with nothing. Cattle, goats, and chickens were all left behind, along with any grain they managed to harvest. Oxfam is helping to distribute food aid, as well as providing seeds and farming tools so the displaced can grow some food in the coming months. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
And that's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Peace at Last by Zahra Duk.
Yeah.
have been listening to Zahra Duke with that peace song. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening and join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Thank you.